This week's parasha is Parashat HaShavuot, the parasha's Vayikra. Tchilat HaParasha matchil Vayikra al Moshe v'edar b'Hashem Eilo me'ol mo'ed lim. Yesh bo medrash al HaParasha. Lo kol kach kashu l'shar HaParasha, but HaMedrash hu nimtza po b'Parashat HaShavuot. B'Medrash katuv she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar l'Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu yesh lecha harbe shemot. 10 shemot nikru lo l'Moshe. הקדוש ברוך הוא אמר, חייך שאיני קורא יצחק אלא מוישה, ויקרא השם אל מוישה, הקדוש ברוך הוא קורא מוישה. 10 שמות היה לו למוישה רבינו, יקוסיאל, אביגדור, אביסוכו, עוד הרבה שמות, שמות מאוד, very flowery, beautiful names, אבל מוישה רבינו, אף אחד לא קרא לו אלא חוץ מהשם מוישה. שם שקורא יצחק בספר. אז השאלה נדרשת, למה דווקא השם הזה? Why is it that דווקא this name of Moshe? אז הפשט הפשוט הוא מפני הכרות הטוב. הכרות הטוב שבסיה הייתה, היא הצילה את מוישה רבינו, הצילה שידירה הצולה את מוישה רבינו, אז הכרות הטוב, אז מוישה רבינו היה תמיד מקפיד, כאילו היה מן הנכון, that he'll be called by that name. אבל יכול להיות שיש עוד רעיון פה, there's another idea. רעיון, יכול להיות שזה כתוב בסיכוס מוסה לא בטוח, did anyone look up the סיכוס מוסה this week's parasha? No. יכול להיות שסיכוס מוסה של חיים שולבס לא בטוח, אבל אם לא, יכול להיות שהוא אומר בסגנון אחר, אני אומר הסגנון הזה. מה קרה? קודם כל צריכים לדעת מה זה שם. שם זה לא סתם מה שזורקים שם, כאילו שלז, מה זה שלז? שלז זה שטויות, זה שטויות ומצגבניות. מצגבניות? מצגבניות is tomato juice. שטויות ומצגבניות, you understand? שלז is שטויות ומצגבניות, that's what it is. A person's name is הרבה יותר חשוב הרבה יותר משמעותי than just stam they tried to call someone once upon a time you had a nickname also, right?
Yeah.
What was it again? Whatever. I had nicknames. Many of us had nicknames. But shtuyot, mitzagvaniot. Right. A name is a mahus. The name Yuda expresses his courage that he has. And that's a name Yehuda, and that Yehuda is Bivadai. So a name, you have to understand, Moshe Rabbeinu's name wasn't just stam, a thing to call him, like speak about some of Moshe Rabbeinu's accomplishments. Hashem ze amahus, amahus. Ruim et ze beparashat bereshit, shama, katuv, katuv, bemedrash. Medrash omer shachochma shel odom rishon haya yoter me'amalachim. למה היה לו חכמה יותר מהמלאכים? כי other reason, כל חיה שעובר דרכו, הוא היה קורא לו שם. המלאכים didn't give names to the animals. Other reason was חכם יותר מהמלאכים, he gave each one of them a name. ככה כתוב במדרש. השאלה, מה זה, what does it take to give them to make a name? You know what I mean? Just like throw together a few letters and you Buha, Blash, Ma, call whatever you want to call it. You could call it Glop, you could call it Shmap, you could call it, you know, you could call it cake with a cherry on top. Call it whatever you want to call it. Segeit Nishtan, you know what I'm saying? What is the Chachma? Atirutsu Pashut. Atirutsu Shem Shel Adam HaRishon. Lo Yastam, a way to remember something. It was Adam HaRishon was able to look into the Shoresh of this thing and see the Mahus and to give it a name. You know why you call a horse a horse? No reason, of course. But why do you call a sus a sus? That's definitely because of what? Definitely because it is mahus. Gets 2 points for that one. Why do you call a horse a horse? No reason, of course. Why do you call a sus? Because it's mahus. That's the answer. So we have to understand what was the mahus of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's el asbir lachem. A mahus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mishin achnas ador. So what's the most of Moshe Rabbeinu? Tishma. Moshe Rabbeinu, אנחנו מכירים סיפורים על Moshe Rabbeinu. בוא נשמע סיפורים על Moshe Rabbeinu. What are the stories we know about Moshe Rabbeinu? סיפור ראשון is first story of Moshe Rabbeinu that's in the Torah. First thing that he did. ויצא מישראל אחיו, והיה בסבלו יסם, And he says to, he says, Ish Mitzri, Makay Ish Ivri. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He steps in. Now, Anachnu Mevinim, the Moshe Rabbeinu is putting his life on the line over there, Nachon? Because right now everyone thinks that he's like a Mitzri dude, and he's going to come out, and if Paro hears about this, bad news. Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to get, to put himself in a certain amount of uncomfortability in order to help someone else, another Jew. Next story is Vayar Ish Ivri Makeh Ish. Two people hitting each other. What are you getting involved for, Moshe Rabbeinu? Why are you getting involved? That was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was always getting involved. And the third story we know about Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu has got all these animals that he's got to take care of. He's a shepherd for Yisrael. And he's got one animal that's like, okay, forget him. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, no, I can't forget him. I got to take care of him. Moshe Rabbeinu is so concerned with the plight of others, even with the plight of animals. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Where did he get that midah from? It was nishrash in him, from Bas Paro. Because you know something? It's not your problem. It's a Jewish kid. Leave it alone. She couldn't adopt a guy. She could adopt the children if she wanted. So leave this kid alone. You know what I mean? It's not your problem. But she went me'alo me'ever. V'yishrisha im b'Moshe Rabbeinu. She ingrained in him a midah of worrying about other people, about being cared and concerned for others. And that was the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu. To be a manhig, you have to be worried about everybody. And after a while, you got those few nagging people that are just making you crazy. It's just like, you know, forget about them. No. And many of the manhigim, all they're worried about really?
Themselves.
That's really what it boils down to, right? But Moshe Rabbeinu was worried about, and we saw it in its most profound way, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you know what? I'm sick and tired of these people. Let's just get rid of them, Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll just start over with you. You know, I mean, it's still Jewish people. It's just, you know, that's it. Moshe says, no, we can't do that. I don't want you to kill them. Kill me. Do you imagine the self-sacrifice that had to happen there? Moshe Rabbeinu's concern so much for his people. That is the epitome of what Moshe represented. All the other names of Moshe were very nice accolades, very nice tribute to his accomplishments. Avi Socho, that he was Avi and Shel, all of the Nevi'im that were Socho, Avigdor, all the other names were all very nice things. But the Mahus of Moshe Rabbeinu was, Min Amayim Ishisiyo, I took you out of the water, I was cared and concerned for your state because you are another human being and I wanted to take care of you. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu represented. And that's why, that's the name that is the most appropriate for Moshe Rabbeinu. This week's parasha continues and it says, Vayikra, Hashem called out to Moshe. If you look, Moshe Rabbeinu, the word Vayikra is written with a small aleph. It's written with a small aleph. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol. אני רוצה להגיד לכם, מה זה נפלא? זה נפלא ביויסר. I want you to appreciate the Chanukah Satoira. Chanukah Satoira is Rebbe Reb Hershel. קודם כל אני רוצה להגיד לכם קצת סיפור על Rebbe Reb Hershel. Rebbe Reb Hershel is buried in Krakow. He's buried in Krakow. הוא היה איש צדיק וגודל הדור. הוא היה גודל הדור, רבי של הבח, רבי של השח, רבי של הטאז, אם אני לא טועה. טאז is buried right next to him in Krakow on the back. He was an unbelievable Gadol HaDor, and he was a tremendous tzaddik. And Sipor Mefursam al Rebbe Reb Hershel Kacha. Many of you have never heard of you. Is anyone here that's not heard of the Rebbe Reb Hershel before? Many of you have not heard of him. Why have you not heard of him? Because he hasn't written any Sfarim. He was a Gadol HaDor. He's a person you should. You heard of his Talmidim. Anyone here never heard of the Shach or the Taz? We've all heard of Shach and Taz. The Rebbe Reb Hershel was his Rebbe. The reason I've heard it is because Rebbe Hershel never wrote Sfarim. Ellie, listen to this story, okay? It's an awesome, awesome story. You were in Krakow?
Yeah.
I don't know if you spoke about the story then. It's in the back. He's in the back. Listen to the story. The Rebbe Hershel was in Shir. And he was learning up the Marsha. And he said, this Marsha doesn't make any sense. And all of a sudden, all of the candles in the room blown out. Right, he said, this mashal doesn't make any sense. Whoosh, there's no more light in the room. He sends the shach or the Taz, I could look up the exact story before we get to Prague, but then I look it up to go next door to get a light. He goes out of the room, he's by himself, and he has a vision. In his vision, he's told that his your Rebbe was just said something that in Shemayim they had big akbadas on. My shell doesn't make any sense. Can't say that. And because of his akbadas, he was nigzar on him in Shemayim and Einish. The Marsha himself came to the Shach and said, I want to tell you the answer to his question, so you know. Okay. The Marsha makes sense. So he came down, he went back in afterwards, and his Rebbe continued the Shir, and the Shach said, I have a teretz to the Kasha and the Marsha. He gave him, he told him the answer to the question. And the Rebbe Persha called him aside and said, there's no way you were mechaber to that. That was beyond you. I know you, you're my Talmud. That's not, you got that from somewhere else. Where's that from? Where'd you get that from? He said, the Marsha told me the teretz. And the Rebbe Persha got very scared. He realized something's going on. Lights went out. The Marsha's coming. That night he had a dream. In the dream they came to him and they said, Menashemayim, you have to be punished because you're mezalzel on the cover of the Marsha. You have a choice. Either from this day on you have no more Talmidim, or from this day on you have no more Sfarim. And you have to choose. And the Rebbe Herschel chose not to have any Sfarim. All of his Ksavim that he had either burnt in a fire or drowned in a boat. No Ksavim remained from the Rebbe Herschel. Everything was destroyed. All he had was Talmidim. There's a story about one particular manuscript. Yara Weinstock writes the story about one particular manuscript that he had on Baba Kama. And he said, this manuscript is my baby. I love this manuscript like I love my own children. So Hashem said, I can't write any Sfarim. This is not a sefer. This is a child. So he, in his understanding of the Gzeira, said, it's not chal on this. And he went to print. He sent the manuscript to print. And because the only printing press at the time was across the river, he had to send the manuscript on a boat. And lo and behold, the boat sank, and the manuscript was lost. And the Talmidim knew how much he loved this manuscript, and they were afraid to tell him. What are they going to do? They tell the Rebbe he's going to be broken. This is the one thing that he left over. Everything else is gone. He has one manuscript. So one Talmud says, okay, I'll do it. He goes into the Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, I am having a problem. Can you help me out? So sure. So Rebbe state in the Gemara, Kol ma David rachman al tov, everything Hashem is doing for the good. I don't understand. I have a friend who lost his job. How could it be for the good he lost his job? He says, well, you have to understand that even a person loses his job, and really it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Rebbe Peshel is giving him chizik. He says, yeah, but Rebbe, I don't understand. I have a friend who's sick. How could it be good if he's sick? He says, well, you have to understand it's really all good. He says, Rebbe, I don't understand. I have a friend who lost a child. How could it be good if he lost a child? And the Rebbe is getting more and more dovik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and more building more as slavus and an appreciation and a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Rebbe, everything Hashem does is for the good. Everything He does for the good. Rebbe, what would be if your Ksavim drowned in the ocean? Would that also be for the good? And the Rebbe looked at him and he fainted. And the Talmidim came in, and they rushed in, and they revived him. And he said, I want to tell you something. If it wasn't for the pikchus of this Talmud, I would have died on the spot. But because he was such a pikeach of how exactly to tell me and how to get me into a place, when I was ready to really hear it, I fainted because it was still so traumatic for me, but I was able to survive. This is the person that we're talking about, the Rebbe Peshel. I want to tell you this. Kitzer, this is all just a lead up to the Vart. Ready for the Vart? The Vart is like this. State in the Medrash.
Wait, how do you have the Vart?
They had Varts that Talmidim said over. No manuscripts, all from Talmidim. There's a Sefer called Chanukas HaTorah, which is all just from other Svarim. They took manuscripts, they got from other Svarim. He didn't leave over any manuscripts, but this Sefer left, has something for Chanukas HaTorah. This Sefer has something for Chanukas HaTorah. The Rebbe Peshel, it's called the Chanukas HaTorah, that's what they call it. So, state in Medrash, you ready? The Medrash says, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he finished writing the Torah, there was leftover ink. Leftover ink in Moshe Rabbeinu's quill. So Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what should I do with the leftover ink? Hashem says, smear it on your forehead. You gotta love this. So Moshe Rabbeinu smeared the ink on his forehead, and that ink began to shine, and that's where Moshe Rabbeinu got his Keren Or Panav. We know Moshe Rabbeinu's face shone. Where was it from? It was from leftover ink that he smeared on his forehead. What does that mean, there was leftover ink? Because Baruch Hu didn't know how much ink to put in the quill. Why was there leftover ink? And why is Moshe Rabbeinu smearing on his forehead? Says the Rebbe Hershel, the Pshat's as follows. Because Baruch Hu said, Moshe, write Vayikra El Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it small. Why did he write it small? Because he didn't want... Vayikra sounds like he's boasting. Hashem called out to Moshe, right? Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to write Vayokar. Hashem said, write Vayikra. So I'll put a little aleph. But he made the aleph smaller than all the other letters, you see. See that? So there was leftover ink. Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write the aleph as big as he was supposed to. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, smear on your forehead. That became the Koran or part of what everyone saw. How great Moshe Rabbeinu is. Because Chazal say, Kol ha-bireach min ha-kovid, kovid is bireachas acharav. Moshe Rabbeinu tries to make himself small. The smaller you make yourself, the bigger you become. That's what happened over here. That's the Rebbe Hershel says, Bez Hashem. I think the Rebbe Hershel is a tremendous, tremendous koyach. His neshama is a tremendous koyach. I hope to be able to be there and be mespal on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so the pasuk says, "Vayikra Moshe v'dabra Hashem elav ve'el moed lemar." So it says the following thing: Adam ki Yaakov mikem korban Hashem. And I want to tell you a word al sefer Vayikra, word al parsha shel Korbanos, and I think it's a word al Chayim, which is kacha. You know that in Eretz Yisrael, the first thing they learn with children is sefer Vayikra. Is that ma'od neged the what we would think is the what a person would have assumed in the beginning. I would start with a nice story, you know. Teach the kids Korbanos. It's like it's about as dry and about as technical. Why are we starting with Korbanos? And why is the whole Sefer Vayikra called Vayikra? Called Leviticus. Sefer Toras Koyanim, Ech Pashtei. Lekozek Toras Koyanim, Kacha Hashem, that's the in the Midrashim called Toras Koyanim. But why do we call it Sefer Vayikra? What does it mean, Sefer Vayikra? Ani choshev apshar kacha. Matchila, v'katuv, Odom ki Yaakov mikem korban l'Hashem. Ein lanu korbanot. Ein lanu korbanot. Az lama anachnu korim et zeh? V'ma zeh kashur lanu? V'ma nogea? Odom ki Yaakov mikem korban. Haemet hu sheyesh lanu korbanot. Yesh lanu efsharut lahakriv korban. Lahakriv korban is to sacrifice something. Is to give something up. A lot of us have things that maybe, you know, we think would be easier for us. If a person is willing to give up something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's his korban. Adam ki yakriv mikem. Give of yourself korban l'Hashem. Give something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every one of us has that. There's a lot of different words to use for a human, for the mankind. There's Enosh, there's Ish, there's Gever, and there's Adam. Enosh is Ma Enosh Kisin Skirenu. Ish, Gever, and Adam. The river is Ephraim, the Kleokar, who's in Prague. The Kleokar says there's something unique about the word Adam. Enosh can be made into plural. What's the plural of Enosh? Anoshim. Gever can be made into plural. What's the plural of Gever? Gvarim. There's Gvarim and Nashim, right? Gvarim is Ish can be made into plural. Ishim. Such a thing as such a pasuk. What? Anoshim is Enosh. Adam cannot be made into plural. What's the plural of Adam? En. There's no word for Adamim. En kaze davar. Adam is a reflection, is a representative of the uniqueness of every individual. Atem kuyim Adam means that every one of us, every yid has something individual, something unique about them, that we can bring to the table. It's something we can sacrifice for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every person has to find his Adam Ki yakriv mikem korban Hashem. Find what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. What can I contribute? Your contribution is your sacrifice. And that's Parshas Vayikra, why it's called that, because Vayikra means being called. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling on every one of us. Every person has to realize that he has a calling in this life. And that calling is what you can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to fulfill your calling, to do what you have to do, even at whatever type of sacrifice you have to make in order to get there. That's what the Pasuk is saying over here. Odom ki yakar mikem korban lasha. So the Pasuk says, mina behema mina bakar mina tzoyin takrivu es korbanchen. I want to tell you a word from Sefer called Teferes Yoinasan. Teferes Yoinasan is written by none other than the Rebbe Yoinasan. There's two people that are classically not Hasidish and classically called the Rebbe Reb. One of them is the Rebbe Reb Herschel, and the other one is the Rebbe Reb Yoinasan. Neither one of them are Hasidic, and the Olam is makbid to call him the Rebbe Reb Yoinasan. I'll tell you why. I'm giving you a little bit of a history lesson. The Rebbe Reb Yoinasan was also before Hasidus. He was in the time of Shabsai Tzvi. He was right before Hasidus. Does anyone know the story of Shabsai Tzvi? Shem, you know that story? It's a crazy story. Shabsai Tzvi got up and said he was Mashiach. And that was right before Hasidus. And the Maize, a lot of people bought in. He was a very charismatic person. He knew a lot. And a lot of people bought in. A lot of people. He ended up converting to Christianity, Rahman al-Atslan, and he was a fake.
Shining Islam.
What? Islam. There you go. He ended up converting. And he was a fake. But many people were at the time taken by him, and there was also a lot of suspicion when he was converting to Islam. So people were suspicious that he had followers that were still there. There was a huge machlokes between Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz and Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and the Noi Deb Yehuda got involved. The Noi Deb Yehuda, the Rav of Prague, got involved. And he did a good job at kind of like, you know, saying, look,